Want to welcome you to our new program, Balanced Living. This is Bob Benson, the host today. And in our studios today, we have Vicki Griffin. She has a long resume. I'll just mention a couple things. She's the founder and director of Lifestyle Matters, and she's also the health ministries leader of the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. So welcome, Vicki.
Thank you, Pastor Bob.
It's good to have you here in the studios today. We've chosen a very interesting topic to talk about. Tell us a little bit about what we're talking about today.
Well, today we're talking about life after loss, growth out of grief.
Some people would say that's an oxymoron. How can there be life after loss?
Well, if there isn't, we're all in trouble because loss is really a part of life. It's the hardest part, and it often starts very, very early. There's a lot that we can do to reduce the risk of suffering and disease and problems, whether it's at the financial or social realm, whether it's the spiritual realm, whether it's lifestyle and cause and effect. But there's a lot that we don't understand. And there's a lot that is very painful that we need to address in this broken world of ours.
So it seems we're going to be addressing on two levels. One level is preventative, how to minimize the pain and discomfort of going through a loss. On the other side, some people don't address those issues until they find themselves in loss.
Right.
So we're going to try and help them on both sides.
Right. The question is, how do you find strength, stability, security, and even hope in the midst of inexplicable, irreversible loss and brokenness? Mm-hmm. How can you reduce the risk of unnecessary suffering in every realm? Mm. That's the topic of our program today.
Yeah. The emotional pain is among the deepest levels that the human being will experience when they face a loss of a loved one. And so we're dealing with something that is very deep for each one of us here. At some point, each of us will experience this loss. So let's jump right into this exciting topic today.
Yes, Pastor, loss has many faces, and it touches every life. That's no surprise. In fact, it's difficult, as we have already stated, it's difficult to make sense of many terrible losses, whether it's death, injury, health, property, friends, that job you were depending on, that betrayal by that friend. And it's very interesting to me. I just got through researching some new data on pain and the areas of the brain that are activated when we experience physical pain are the same areas that are activated when we feel social pain or emotional pain. Mm. And even the words that we use for inner pain are somatic. They have to do with the body. You've broken my heart. Mm. I'm injured. I'm wounded. You're a pain in the neck. You're not a pain in the neck, but that is the language. And yet on the healing side, you've touched me. Mm. Babies that are not touched die. And so in order to address the loss of physical health, we have to be able to address the need for how to nurture and grow during emotional loss as well.
Very true, very true. So in this world, we go through these different trials. Some of it's a result of sin. God did not promise us a life without problems or sorrow. In the rule, he said, you will have tribulation.
Yeah, but God assures us that one day there will be an end of this suffering and that there will be an end of tears and sorrow and pain. And he says, be of good cheer. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. So there's loss through our own choices. We suffer because we are ignorantly alienated from the life of God. Mm. We make choices that are very harmful to ourselves and to others at every level. There are choices that other people make that harm us, that are out of our control. That person that had authority over you when you were a child and you were subject to abuse, that's a form of loss that impairs even the development of that child, their nervous system, their pain system, their proneness to various diseases. And that is something that is a result of this sinful world. And then there are circumstances. There are circumstances that we cannot control, hurricanes and disaster. But whether by choice, chance, or circumstance, our mighty Savior has engineered us for renewal, recovery, and restoration. What would we do without that?
That is true. I just think that text, Romans 8:28, somehow the underlying mosaic that all of these things that we go through, it's like, why, God, have you allowed this? A lot of people, why God suffering and all? But it says that all things will work together for good to those that love God. Somehow, even through all the loss and all the pain, all the suffering that people experience, there's a silver lining that can become a cloud of glory once we start to understand God's plan for our life. That going through this experience actually strengthens us and actually blesses us, as I have found out in one of my experiences in life.
It's incredible. Tell us about that experience. It's very poignant. You were sharing it with me a few moments ago.
After we had our daughter, we were expecting another child. We were 8 months in, and all of a sudden one day my wife said, you know, I just don't feel the baby moving anymore. So we went to see the doctor, and the doctor, it was one of these remote rural villages, and the doctor came in on just that day, once every other few weeks, but he was there. He said, after an hour of searching with the ultrasound, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your child is dead. And our major doctor came in and said, so we're going to do a delivery tomorrow. And we went through that process. And then when the baby came out, all the fingers and toes were there. Everything was there, but the breath of life wasn't there. We were so numb with grief. My lips were numb. My wife just said, pray. That's all she could say. And all I could say is, help God. And at that point, when I barely uttered those words, I just remember emotionally, I was healed from the inside out. The pain was lifted. It was gone. I never looked back. And in the future, when I face challenging times, and I wonder, where's God in all this? I just think back to that day, and I remember that God was there.
He really touched you. For Elsina, yeah, that was a much longer journey. Mm. So sometimes healing takes place immediately. Sometimes that woundedness, it lasts a while. I love the Psalms for that reason. David prayed. I love this illustration of the clash between faith and feelings, where David prayed and he said, I will pray to the God of my life. Why have you forsaken me? What you are sharing here is illustrative of a young pastor, Pastor John Claypool. He wrote a book long ago called Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. And he was a young pastor when he lost his 8-year-old daughter to a tragic, painful, and protracted 2-year battle with leukemia. And during this trial, Pastor John discovered in a Bible promise that God's help, strength, and presence come in different kinds of ways.
I look at that promise that he was looking at, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
So in the process of caring for his little girl, Pastor Claypool found special insight from this very scripture, and he discovered 3 promises of God's presence in a believer's life. So can you see them in this verse? This was not a time of exuberance, freedom, and busy activity. He was not mounting up with wings as eagles. And as a pastor, he was not running and not being weary. This was not a time of busy activity. This was his time to walk and not faint. And this was the only form of the promise that fits this situation. In his own words, he said, in the dark stretches of life, when you cannot soar and there's no place to run, to know of a help that will provide strength that enables you to walk and not faint. That's good news indeed. That's what you did, Pastor.
Yep.
I'm so thankful for that promise that someday God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That means that now there is, for the former things are passed away.
Mm. You know, it's interesting, Vicki, as we talk about the end of the road, when everything is made right, when Christ sets up his eternal kingdom, what about the here and now? And we were looking at a text earlier today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And certainly at a time of grief is when you need comfort. But it goes on, it says, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in troubles, you know, with the comfort of which we ourselves are comforted by God. I know that you went through your grief stage, and you'll probably share a little bit of that as we go. But I just know that from that moment on, I had a special sonar that picked up on anybody who was going through loss.
Yes.
Because I had been there, and I could empathize with them, and I knew a better way to minister to them than I did before I went through this loss myself. And I praise God for it now.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
Oh, yes. You know, he is called the God of comfort. He is the God of mercy, the God of justice. We call out to him according to his name. And that he is the God of this. And oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need his strength. And there was a scripture that became very special to me in the journey with the loss of my husband and ministry partner, Dane. We were married for 32 years, 28 years of that time we had together was spent in full-time ministry. And we worked joyously together. We worked side by side, day and night. In fact, we would work all day and then get in the car together and drive a mile to the post office. It was an incredible experience. And me having a background of being abused and beaten and a runaway, for the first time in my life, I felt really secure. Mm. I didn't have an early childhood memory of feeling ever safe and secure. Wow. And now my husband is dying of cancer and I'm going to be alone in this world. After he died, I prayed to die. Mm. And I was working on these programs, Pastor Ben. Mm. I was working on this. This presentation that we're doing today is a result of that journey. And I remember praying to die for 3 weeks. I would work by day on these programs. And then by night, I would pray that God would take my life. I respected him too much to take my own. One time I even was so concerned about my own thoughts, my own desire to exit this world, that I called in the middle of the night, I called a suicide hotline and no one answered. Mm. And I said, Lord, seriously. Wow. What is this all about? And one night I said, Lord, that's it. You've just got to take me from this planet. It's too painful. Life is too painful. And so many people feel this way. Mm-hmm. So many people are without hope. Mm-hmm. And hope is the heart of health. And here I was, a Christian, doing health material. My hope, it seemed, had vanished. But my faith had not. I just didn't know it. In the morning, I woke up and a voice was in my head. Not an audible voice, but a scripture was in my head that I knew for many years. And it was, I had almost fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And it was like God was speaking to my heart and saying, Vicky, I know that you don't see my goodness now, but if you will just trust me, you will. He asked me to take that step. He didn't relieve me from those feelings right away, but I heard the voice of God speaking to me to trust him. Wow. And I asked him to weaponize this grief so that others who were suffering could be saved from not only the guilt of sin, but the grip of sin, to be able to rise above suffering, to be able to change our wishbone into backbone. Mm. And I was a runaway. So God was having to strengthen me to walk alone just with him. And he did. And after our break, we'll be talking about some of the practical strategies for growing in strength during trial.
The takeaway for us was the text we found very comforting. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So for us, at that time, we went to Christ and we asked for help, and he was there. He totally understood. He took care of healing us. And I will never forget how powerful God is in those moments of crisis.
It is absolutely true.
Well, Vicky, we got a lot to talk about, but we're going to have to take a break, and we'll be right back after this moment.